This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
So the countdown is on. High school football getting its 66th broadcast season underway Friday night on the airwaves and back to the airwaves as the torch has been passed to the new owner of Yogi's, Ron Ryder, and his outstanding staff. Yogi's Grill and Bar here at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Another season of Sports Talk conversation, and in the house on opening night, the 2015-16 athletic year, who better to help us usher in the high school football season than the veteran commissioner of the IHSAA in his 16th year with the association, Bobby Cox. Rule 2-5, the success factor, takes hold in all six of our classes in football. The state of the state of our high school game tonight from the commish. A little bit later, Dr. Jeffrey Smithers, one of the new adds to the staff with Orthopedics of Southern Indiana. That's one of the primary groups at IU Health Southern Indiana physicians. And we'll talk concussions with Dr. Jeff, not only football, but all amateur sports, including all student athletes at both levels, high school and college, and our weekend warriors as well. Plus, we'll have a special guest dropping in on board here on opening night on this Tuesday. Another year upon us as we greet you to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Along with our producers tonight, Jim Ritter, high atop One City Center downtown in our studios, on-site producers Joanna and Mike Lascott, along with our chief engineer Tom Mulvihill, and all of our sponsors, including Yogi's Grill and Bar. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith, and please welcome, if you will, Bobby Cox to the broadcasting microphones. 2 years running now, Bobby, and thanks for making the trip down. I know it's not the easiest this day with I-69 in the house, but welcome. You ready for a little football, my friend?
I am ready, Joe, and I appreciate the invite. We've off to a good start at the association. I told somebody the other day that I believe that summer's on the endangered species list. We just don't have a summer anymore. It just seems like we finished our baseball tournament, and we did just finish at the end of June. And now we're back ready to kick off football, and I'm excited about that. As you mentioned in the opening, we have some changes within our classifications. This will be now the third year that we have six classes in football, and I'm looking forward to some interesting matchups when we get to tournament time.
You know, Bobby, one thing we can say for certain, and the game of high school football in the state of Indiana, it has grown immensely. Jason Willie was telling me 321 schools of the 408 total members. That's almost 79%. But the game itself is alive and well, isn't it?
The game is alive and well, and I would tell you that the numbers of high schools that are embracing football continues to grow, and I think it grows from not only just the athletic perspective, but it grows from the scholastic perspective. It allows some schools to have a grounding fall activity where the entire community can come together. It's no different than schools have been playing football for 100 years. There's a homecoming. There are other activities that engage the student body and engage the patrons of the community. And so we see this happening in our smaller schools. They're embracing football. They're beginning football. And while it is an expensive endeavor, we're seeing schools start to start new programs. Mm. And we'll have a couple new teams in the tournament this year for the first time. And so that's also exciting for those schools.
Well, it is indeed. And, of course, it all ends at Lucas Oil Stadium. And it also begins there because the Horseshoe Classic is coming up Friday night. That is sponsored by the Colts and coordinated, of course, by the IHSAA. Played there at Lucas Oil, Decatur Central, Franklin Central, Southport, and Roncalli. A couple of Conference Indiana teams there in Franklin Central and Southport. We'll talk more about that. But, you know, like any coach and staff putting together game plan, Bobby, as you look forward to 2015-16, we're already early on with a lot of the other sports going on. Tell us your goals. You go in goal-oriented and just wait until the end of the year to see and step back. Hey, you know, that was a pretty good year.
Well, we do a little bit of that, Joe, but I would tell you that our observation and our evaluation of the year is ongoing throughout the year. As you know, the association spends a lot of effort, energy, and resources on sportsmanship. And we once again have provided our member schools, all 408 schools, with a brand new kit of sportsmanship materials, posters that go in the schools, posters that go in the locker rooms, For the first time, we're going to offer middle school posters and encourage those middle schoolers to become high school athletes and represent their communities and represent their high schools. Our print ads and our media ads that we always give our schools will still be included in that. And then there's a unique piece that we've done, and it gives me an opportunity to thank our newest partner, Ivy Tech Community College. They are the presenters of sportsmanship this year.
Great.
And so with our tagline of you are the face of sportsmanship, we will be providing 500 popcorn boxes to every member school. Every member school has to use popcorn
Everybody
boxes.
Everybody loves popcorn.
Football and basketball. You walk into a gym, the first thing you smell is popcorn. So on the one side of the box is going to be our sportsmanship message. On the other side of the box will be a message from our partner, Ivy Tech Community College. So we're excited about that partnership, that they have come on board, and they share the same values that we do at the association. So it's an exciting time.
You know, back in May, and you and the executive committee realigned the sectionals, the sectional assignments, and you did that in all of the sports. That had a lot of thought process had to go into that when you took a look-see, but it looks like now that we're getting into fall, that everything is a go, and schools are excited.
They are excited about it, Joe. And let's just take football as the discussion point.
Yep.
When we realign and reclass, the first thing that happens is that membership submits their enrollments to the Department of Education, and we give them the fall. We take the September count, and we give them the fall to put those in, and then we collect that from the DOE. We rank schools from the largest school to the smallest school, with no lines attached anywhere. We put that list out there for our membership to look at for a couple weeks to make sure that the numbers that were submitted by their central offices are accurate. And then once that list is established, then we start classifying, and we do that in all of our team sports. So we're talking about football. We draw the lines for six classes in football. And so there's 32 schools in 6A.
Right.
There are 64 schools in 4, 3, 2, and 1A. And then there's 33 schools in 5A, because that's where the excess goes. A perfect tournament would be 320 schools, but as we mentioned earlier, we're growing our numbers in football. We have more than 320, and that's fine. So we put that group in, that extra team, in 5A. You can't have any more than 64 schools in a six-week tournament,
right,
because you can't play the tournament. Can't finish it in time.
Right. And, you know, localizing it a bit, Edgewood, a prime example, they had a nice football year last year under Jerry Bland, finishing 9-2. But they are now the second smallest 3A school that will be playing 4A football, 3A in the other sectional.
Exactly.
But they move up a little bit because of success, and just like you mentioned, the overall enrollment.
Well, their enrollment has gone up a little bit, and the football enrollments are a little bit different than the others because we have six classes rather than four. So once we do the reclassification, then we go through what we call realignment.
Mm.
And realignment's where we build the sectionals. And we'll go back to football. We pick a school administrator from each of the six classes and each of the three districts in the IHSA, a northern district, a central district, and a southern district. So that's 18 people.
I saw that.
And our board members fill up six of those spots. The IIIA, which is the Athletic Directors Association in our state, they select six people. And then our staff, we fill in the final six. And we use that to ensure that we have geographic balance. If we find an area of the state where there's not representation, we'll find an individual in that part of the state that knows that part of the state. We'll also try to achieve a balance between principals and athletic administrators so that we have a broad-based committee. And so in football, there were 18 people that developed this alignment that we're working with for the next 2 years that was approved by our board of directors.
Well, we're just getting started on opening night here at Yogi's Grill and Bar. The voice of IHSA Commissioner Bobby Cox. A little bit later, Dr. Jeffrey Smithers will be joining us talking about concussions. But when we come back, we'll talk a little about how the technology has changed within the association relevant to concussions with the new helmet sensors, and who's on the move, who's up, who's down, what to expect for the campaign of 2015 that, gets rolling across the state of Indiana on a Friday night, including, as I mentioned at the top, a 66th year here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Back with Bobby Cox, and we'll continue along. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's.
What did I do?
everybody. A beautiful Tuesday night outdoors. Students arriving. Any locals can attest to that. Driving down any main thoroughfare here in Bloomington. Our guest tonight, kicking off things from Yogi's Grill and Bar on Sports Talk, Bobby Cox, the commissioner of the IHSAA. Bobby, we were talking about basically 79% of the total membership, over 320 schools playing the football, the gridiron game. But it's interesting, and I got to ask you, because I think, and you alluded to it earlier, that the success factor has been well received by the coaches, and rather than a penalty for doing well. I mean, when you do well in this regard, you're winning state championships.
Absolutely. And I will tell you, Joe, that our membership is embracing the success factor. What happens is when we, if you go back in history and you look at what the IHSA, how they arrange their tournaments, for 83 years, we played everything in one class with the exception of football. And the notion of multiple class was that the larger schools were winning too many tournaments, that the small school didn't have a chance. So our board in 1997-98 went to multiple classes. Well, from my perspective, that was the first step. Because once you do that and you start dividing the schools up into classes by enrollment, you've only answered one question. The other question is the number of students that actually play sports versus the ones that don't. And the public and the private school, it's a little bit different. You know, studies will tell you that in public schools, about 30% of students at the school participate in extracurricular activities and sports. In a private school, that number is up to 70%. So if you take two schools that have 1,000 kids each, one's public and one's private, really what you've got is a school of 300 playing against a school of 700, which is double the size of the kids that are in that school, of athletes that play and athletes you can pick from. So then the success factor now allows for those schools, public or private, if they experience a great deal of success, and a great deal of success in our definition is you win the state championship or you win the semi-state twice, or you win the state and win the regional, you're going to move up if you're in the smaller, below the largest classification.
Well, no question about it. And case in point, and it's in our lid lifter, Bob Gaddis brings his preseason ranked number two ranked East Olympians from Columbus over to take on Scott Bless's Cougars. And they have made the move from 4A to 5A. Cathedral, who Bloomington South, unfortunately, what a great classic that was,
right,
in the semi-state championship game, losing in overtime, or they would have played for the 5A title under Mo. Instead, Cathedral wins. I think that's five in a row. They've won. They've dominated 3A, 4A, 5A. They go to 6A.
They go to 6A, and quite honestly, I think they're going to find that that is the right level of competition for them. I give kudos to Dave Worland, their principal, Doug Seagrave, their athletic director, and Rick Strife, their football coach. They have embraced the opportunity to participate in 6A football. It will not be easy for them with the Indianapolis area schools at 6A, but they will rise to the occasion. And what that's happened in every situation where schools have moved up. Their bar raises, and they get better, and they play harder, and I think it helps the whole sport.
Well, no question. Ben Davis, the state, defending state champion in 6A. Center Grove's going to be another powerhouse. Pike has a new coach with Coach Graves. They're all in the mix. And, you know, Conference Indiana, you know, you're talking a little about, Bobby, and putting a local slant on it. Teams that on the realignment are still playing 5A, but that being said, this is North South and North South of Terre Haute, and both of those schools, since they competed and joined Conference Indiana, they're both flying underneath the radar screen.
They very much are, Joe. Those are four really good athletic programs at Terre Haute North and South and at Bloomington North and South. And, you know, Coach Moriarty, you know, he had it right in his grasp last year in the Cathedral game in overtime. And kudos to both teams for the way they played that game. Hard-fought game, played with great sportsmanship. Both coaches were outstanding. And that's what high school sports is supposed to be about. And I anticipate we're going to have more of that this year.
Oh, I think so, too. And, you know, we'll have Dr. Jeff Smithers with us in a bit to talk about concussions. But, you know, concussions is a big part of a survey that the association did, Bobby. And I think over 2,200 concussion-like symptoms, and primarily Most of them have happened, or a good chunk of it, in football. But, boy, the trainers and the coaches with these new helmet sensors, I mean, it's an add to the equipment that has basically or is designed to maybe save life.
I think that there's a valid point that the sensors in the helmets, they can predict certain factors and certain trends and so forth. I think the fact that the association is now asking member schools to track concussive events, I think the fact that we have sensors in helmets. I noted the other day that we've got some schools that are teaching rugby-style tackling now. We are in a relationship with USA Football and their heads-up program of teaching tackling. When you put all that together, what we're doing is we're making the game safer for our young people. And I think that the awareness is greater. I think the oversight is better. And all that does is improve this game we love, what we call football.
Well, any question about it, and as I say, girls golf got an early start to the season, as it always done. We're heating up this week. My gosh, volleyball starts on the local beat later tonight. We're having time, boys and girls soccer all the way across the board. Enough will be on the old man's plate, to say the least. But I love the game of high school football, Bobby, and I tell you, the state of the state, if there was a thought here before we are joined by a special guest, it's just to wish all the teams healthy success and let the games begin. But onward and upward, this is high school football. You can't beat, can you?
You cannot beat it, and it's an exciting time for Hoosier fans to get involved with high school sports and go out and support your community and support your coaching staff and the kids that play and be a part of it.
You know, before we talk with Dr. Smithers and continue the show tonight, we have a special guest that we're bringing on board, and she has been with us many times in her high school career. And I thought it only appropriate that the two-time state champion in girls tennis, the Mental Attitude Award winner in 2015, on her way to Western Michigan University, Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame education scholarship winner, Denise Askwe, Bobby, joins us. And Denise, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I thought it only appropriate with the commissioner in town, and Bobby, it was so special. Denise, of course, doing her thing in tennis, but to have Deacon Bowles also win a Mental Attitude Award, that hasn't happened very often in the annals of high school sports.
It's very rare that a school would have two Mental Attitude Awards in the same season. And Denise here is a great example of what high school sports is supposed to be all about. She's a scholar. She's a scholar athlete. She's a tremendous tennis player. She is involved in her community outside her school. And that's what we're trying to teach in education-based athletics. And if there's ever a better example, I don't know of it. And I want to congratulate you personally, and I'm honored that you're with us tonight, and wish you the best of luck as you move on to college at Western Michigan.
Thank you so much. That meant a lot.
Well, it has meant a lot to us, and you know how I feel about you. And just talk with some thoughts and reflections now about your outstanding high school career, because you're a week away from going up to Michigan, Western Michigan University, but some reflections on what it all meant to grow up in this town and develop relationships and to play the game that you love.
As I reflect back on it, it's been weird just having the whole summer to think about state and my time here at South, and it's bittersweet because I'm sad to go, but obviously I'm excited for the future. Bloomington South has meant so much to me. Like you said, growing up here in Bloomington, born in Bloomington Hospital, I grew up around tennis, but I didn't always play. But then to pick up that, you know, pick up the game that I love and continue it and be a part of so many different events here in Bloomington, it truly has shaped the person I am. And, you know, going forward, that's all you could ever ask for.
Well, just to give you some idea, and you know, the accolades began, but here is a young lady, Bobby, that did not lose a match beyond her sophomore year. She played 104 in her career, 198 of them, 52 consecutively.
It's a tremendous record, and I'm sure she's proud of that and her family's proud of it, but her community should be proud of it and her school should be proud of it as well. It doesn't happen that often where you have a young person of this caliber that plays at such a high level, and the Broncos are getting a great player.
Well, no question about it. Denise, just talk to me. Of course, you're going and leaving Bloomington and going to Western Michigan University. Where do you raise the bar now from this success that you've had and enjoyed? You're a natural talent, but you're a god-awful hard worker. Where do you take the talent level and raise the bar now to your freshman year collegiately?
There's a lot that plays involved, you know, mentally. It's just a big step going from high school, in general, high school tennis to college, the collegiate level. Thankfully, I've grown up around it thanks to my dad. So hopefully it won't be too big of an adjustment just because I've seen it my whole life. But, you know, I think a lot of it just kind of comes with developing as a person, and college is a big step for everyone regardless if you're playing a sport. So to be playing a sport in college, you know, it's going to take a lot of maturing on and off the court, and I think, you know, hopefully I put trust in my new coaches and hope that I can excel from there.
And it was a different move that you mentioned earlier. You were born at Bloomington Hospital, and now it's a chance to grow up some and leave. You had every right to play for Lynn Loring, and you mentioned your dad, Ramiro, who's been the longtime assistant coach for Indiana University women's tennis. But this is a chance for you to find out more about yourself.
By far. Going away, I think my friends and I have talked. We underestimated how hard it was to leave Bloomington. It's a great town and a great community, and we grew up in a great school. So to go on, I'm definitely excited, but I know I'm going to learn a lot about myself the next 4 years as I move on to become a Bronco. And I've known the coaches also there for a really long time, so you know, I have my total trust into them, and as does my dad, but it's going to be a little bit of a change. I've had my dad coach me for 10 years now since I started, and ironically, my first ever collegiate event is here at IU.
Yep.
The third weekend in September, or the last weekend in September, so I'm going to, you know, play my first collegiate match on the court that I had my first tennis lesson on.
Well, you've been a very adaptive to change. That's why you're the success you are throughout an outstanding high school career. And Denise Askwee, we thought it would be cool to give her a little send-off tonight as the two-time unbeaten state champion in tennis, the IHSA Mental Attitude Award winner, and to hear some words from Commissioner Bobby Cox. Denise, the best to you and your career. Thanks for dropping in, and we'll stay in contact. We'll be out there on the courts that that September day, and the best of luck to you at Western Michigan.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Denise Askwee joining us, and you know, Bobby, is, and you've been in the association many, many years, and this is why it's so neat to see young men and women, student athletes develop like Denise and so many more across the state of Indiana that have excelled, not only in the classroom, but on the field, fields of endeavor.
Absolutely, Joe. You know, we feel that education-based athletics is the other half of education, and Denise here is a great example of what we're trying to achieve. The IHSA Mental Attitude Award is the highest award that our association can bestow upon a student athlete. And to win that award demonstrates great levels of success, not only on the court, but off the court and in the classroom. And I think that's what we're about. That's, you know, we focus on the championships and who's playing in which tournament, and that's real exciting. But at the end of the day, what we're really trying to get to is building good people. Former Commissioner Blake Ress always used to say, we're not trying to build all Americans. We're trying to build good Americans, and right here is a good American, and that's what we're trying to do.
She is indeed, and we send Denise off to Western Michigan. We get ready for a little high school football, and Commish, Bobby, let's do it again next year. There's always new storylines to develop, and we know they will be happening in 2015-16. I know you're got your season tickets for IU football, you and Sandy Searcy and the group. So welcome to Indiana football when it gets rolling, and to all of your assistants, board members, the best of luck in 2015-16.
Thank you, Joe. I love the invitation to come and visit with you every year. I look forward to next year.
Bobby Cox joining us, and when we come back, we'll continue along as we get more into the realm of concussions and how it affects so many people, be it weekend warriors and so many high school athletes, collegians, middle schoolers, and we'll talk shop with Dr. Jeffrey Smithers. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. About 25 before the hour of 7 o'clock, Sports Talk opening night, Yogi's Grill and Bar here at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And our thanks to Denise Askwe for taking time out of her winding down summer, getting ready to compete at the next level at Western Michigan. A very, very special young lady. And, of course, always great to talk to the commissioner of the IHSA, Bobby Cox. It's also great to start new relationships, and we welcome to the broadcasting microphones live tonight one of the new doctors, sports medicine physician with the Orthopedics of Southern Indiana. That's one of the specialty groups at IU Health Southern Indiana Physicians. Dr. Jeff Smithers is our guest, and Jeff, first of all, welcome to Bloomington. I know you haven't been here all that long.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
We'll talk a little about, and I'm hearing so much about the Northwest Side YMCA, and Orthopedics of Southern Indiana has a facility right there, correct? Talk
we
about
do.
That.
We have an office that was put in as a joint venture with the YMCA, and it's a full-service orthopedic office with x-ray as well as on-site physical therapy.
Well, now, I know it's great. Of course, I know a lot of the doctors within the group you're with right now.
Sure.
Tell us how it all evolved for you and how you came to us from, I believe it was St. Louis?
Yes, I was on the Illinois side of St. Louis for 7 years practicing sports medicine, and talked with the orthopedic surgeons and that were part of the group here at Orthopedics of Southern Indiana, and really loved the vision they had for the community as well as for the community athletics, starting with Dr. Steiner, having implemented impact within the schools, as well as getting AEDs in the schools that we've taken care of.
How long have you been a doctor, and tell us about where you're from originally?
So I'm from Michigan originally.
Okay.
And I've been in practice for 7 years, having practiced in St. Louis, did my training out in Arizona, my sports medicine fellowship at Arizona State University.
I saw, where you were team trainer for the Sun Devil basketball team, huh? How was that experience?
It was great. Got to travel with them to the Maui Invitational.
Yeah, we're going out there this year. Indiana's basketball team, so that ought to be neat. You got a family and everything?
Yes. So, yes, wife and two kids, a boy and a girl.
How do you like Bloomington so far?
We love it. It's fantastic.
Well, I tell you, we brought you on, and I thank Jennifer Rose, who's the outstanding secretary for the group. Tim, of course, has been on the show many times, but since we have the commissioner and we're kicking off the high school season, Dr. Smithers, I wanted to touch base on a lot of different things relevant to not only football but to the concussion factor. And simply put, isn't it a brain injury, is it not?
It is a brain injury, but it's a brain injury, you can't oftentimes, you're only seeing the effects of it. You're not seeing the actual injury.
And you really, and we see these violent collisions. We talked a little with the commissioner. You heard that with these new sensors that are helping in the football helmets statewide. But, necessarily, you don't have to hit your head to get a concussion, right?
You don't have to hit your head. It's all it takes is a jolt of the body that causes the brain to move around and basically the water that's within the cranial cavity and hit against the side of the skull, causing a bruise, if you will, of the brain.
And you know, high school kids being so stubborn, and now we hear and we see this down on the middle school level. Monroe County Youth Football Association has just started, and sometimes they are stubborn, and because the high school kids are the same way, and the college kids, you know, if they're not knocked out, they want to go back in. That's
sure.
Not good.
Sure. Yeah, it's not good because. Kids, at that age, they think they're invincible, and they don't always understand what's on the line. And so obviously it takes continued education with those kids, understanding what is on the line, putting it in terms that, that they can understand and be motivated by. But it also takes active surveillance by everyone around them, including coaches and parents, having a high degree of suspicion, understanding it's not just being knocked, it's not being knocked out. And the, many concussions don't involve any loss of consciousness. And so it's really watching out for, are they missing plays? Are they not acting like themselves? Do they look foggy? Really, in asking questions, especially in response to some of those things of the kids, not just asking if they're okay, but asking them, are you having a headache? Are you feeling dizzy? Are you feeling off balance or feeling disconnected?
Well, and it's interesting to note, too, that there's so much can be done to prevent these systems. And one of them, and I know you've been an impact concussion certified provider.
Yes.
Talk a little about that experience. And really, and we're seeing it now because these are the tests the footballers take. If they're knocked silly, the next step is the impact test to see if and when they can get back. But talk about the program and how you've seen it evolve over the last few years.
Sure. So impact is a computerized neuropsychological test that tests verbal memory, visual memory, reaction time, visual motor speed, as well as impulse control. And it in and of itself sometimes gets referred to as the concussion test. It is very helpful in diagnosing concussion, but in and of itself does not diagnose concussion. And so it's very important to be utilized in the hands of a experienced provider that has experience taking care of concussions, diagnosing and managing concussions. But over the years, it has evolved because as more and more athletes take baseline tests and also do post-injury tests, but they have been able to bolster the numbers they have for age-specific normals to be able to get at percentages that help us to look at athletes and where they fit in for their age, and that helps us to understand if their scores after an injury that's a suspected concussion maybe indicative of a concussion or a brain injury.
Dr. Jeff Smithers, our newest orthopedic and sports medicine physician at IU Health, the Southern Indiana Physicians, and we're talking concussions tonight on our opening show, relevant to football, relevant to fall sports, and even our weekend warriors, the older folks that we'll get into here in a second. You know, you being with Impact, and I think it's been the program, maybe this is the seventh year, maybe the eighth year. How do you envision it, and how do you work to improve that system from where it was day one?
Yeah, so the Impact itself, which was started out of the University of Pittsburgh, uh-huh. Nikki Collins, a neuropsychologist, as well as Dr. Lovell, they developed the system. We have utilized and implemented it here in Bloomington, and I'm coming into that program. And one of the really important things is having baseline testing. So we can utilize impact testing after an athlete has had a suspected concussion to look at where their functions are and if their reaction time is significantly delayed. We may not need a baseline test, but overall baseline testing all of these athletes before the season starts, before they get an injury, helps us to then compare their post-injury scores to their baseline scores and understand it gives us a better picture of basically looking under the hood and seeing beyond symptoms and physical exam findings how their brain is processing, because concussion really is a processing problem, and we can see that in better detail with better granularity with this test.
You know, with your expertise in the impact, you say you're starting to head it up. Are you going to run the that impact system for orthopedics of Southern Indiana?
We have.
Or do you have a little team?
So I'm the head team physician for Bedford North Lawrence, and
okay.
Then along with Dr. Steiner, we're co-leading the utilization of impact within the schools that we cover. And also seeing athletes from all over the city and the Bloomington area that have had concussion or suspected concussions.
You know, and I can understand how you and your family decided, you know, this is going to be a pretty good move, because we have seen now orthopedics of Southern Indiana evolve, and you just mentioned it, to Lawrence County. It's all around. It's really expanding. It's taken off, hasn't it?
Sure, absolutely.
But there's a need for it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely there is. But even beyond the testing. The most important thing is for parents and coaches and athletes to be on the lookout for those signs and symptoms so that they can actually get in the hands of a provider that can help them sort out their issue and get the appropriate treatment, because it's not just a matter of if they have a concussion shutting them down from physical activity. We're understanding the need for academic accommodations as well, because you'll see kids that are, and this is really where the rubber meets the road for some of these kids understanding what's on the line. We'll see kids that are straight A students suddenly getting C's and D's if you don't have those academic accommodations, because their motor just can't rev as fast, they're not able to process as quickly, and their grades can plummet if there's not a multifactorial approach taken to treating this injury.
So, and again, you're the team doctor for Bedford North Lawrence in football. Of course, the Stars will be welcoming in Mo Moriarty and the South Panthers on Friday night to kick off the 2015 campaign. That one down at B&L. Jeff, talk to me a little about what you've seen the landscape since you've been on board of just how things are getting done, and where might Bloomington and your group and Monroe, where do we kind of size up from other locales you've been? Sure. We're headed in a positive vein, aren't we?
Absolutely, and one of the things that I really like to see is that not only within Bloomington itself, but statewide, that there are concussion alliances that are being utilized to get providers on board and standardize some of what's being done so that we can make sure these kids are as safe as possible in sports. And so I think Indiana is really leading the pack from what I've seen, and is doing a great job at educating providers, not just sports medicine doctors, pediatricians, family practice doctors, so that we've got a team that is taking care of these kids, and that's really what it's all about. It's not about a particular provider seeing them. It's about making sure they get in the hands of a provider that is experiencing managing concussions so that episode can be the shortest possible episode for them, and they can get back to their normal physical as well as their normal educational activities.
You know, I've always had two R's. I didn't come up with this, but it's very prevalent, relevant rather, to the situation, and that's recognition and response when it comes to, you throw those on. I mean, that's A and B as far, well, it's just vital to treatment, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Talk a little about that, how key it is.
So the athlete has to recognize when they're not feeling right, understand the scope of symptoms that can represent a concussion. It can be increased anxiety, increased irritability, headache, fatigue, not feeling right, feeling distant. And then for those around them, looking at signs of a concussion so that they can recognize that they may have had one. And that includes memory problems, asking questions that they just had answered, forgetting their plays, and so once it's recognized, then making sure that there's an adequate response. Of course, there's a state law that if someone has a suspected concussion, that they sit out for 24 hours to make sure that there's a time frame where that response can happen, and it's not always happening in the crucible of a high-pressure situation on the sideline.
You know, I'm glad you told me you were the team doctor for the Bedford North Lawrence Stars, and of course B&L, a real big school, as everyone knows, and the high school in Lawrence County, big school that is. Talk a little about what you're seeing with we talked with Commissioner Bobby Cox about this, the step toward the new technology, if you will, helmet sensors. Have you guys had a pretty good run since you opened up camp?
So far everything seems to be going well. I haven't had much experience really with the helmet sensors, but I think it's another great foray into getting additional information, increasing the knowledge of what's happening to these kids, really being able to, like the impact test, to look under the hood. And when kids are getting these high readings from a hit, looking more closely at those kids. So I think these helmet sensors are a great addition. It's not always going to equate to a particular pressure reading equals concussion, but it allows us to then focus on some of those kids that may not be reporting symptoms, but we know just took a bigger hit than maybe we thought.
Well, and we're talking concussions with Dr. Jeff Smithers from Orthopedics of Southern Indiana, and joining us on our opening night here at Yogi's Grill and Bar, a sports talk here. Moving along, you know, Doctor, a lot of people play roles. I mean, the athletes, obviously, parents, coaches, ADs, teachers, and you know, that's a large group, but it's sure. The right group, and they all have to be on the same page when we're talking about something that can lead to various serious injury.
Yes, absolutely. So obviously with the IHSA is doing in terms of educating coaches, that's a fantastic step. There are numerous websites with educational information on it regarding concussion that helps all those members of the community and of this of these athletes' lives to really get on board and have an understanding and a standardized understanding of concussion. The Department of Education in Indiana has information on concussion. The IHSAA has information. CDC has a great website. There are websites like Stop Sports Injuries that have further information about concussion. And so the information is out there. We're trying to get it into the parents and coaches and teachers and ADs' hands more actively. But it is great that they're hearing the message over and over again, because it starts to resonate. We start getting the recognition, we get the response, and hopefully we get the ultimate response, which is keeping kids safe, not just for now, but for their future, so that they can have long, productive lives.
Well, it falls under the word awareness, and that has to be key. And you know, this is a busy time of year. Girls go, I mean, everything's starting now on the high school beat, but concussion certainly not limited to just the football players taking the hard knocks. We see it all the way across the board, and we even drift down out of high school down to the middle school level where there's activity there.
Yes, and sometimes people think that there's an age, a lower end of age where concussion can happen. Although some of the hits aren't as hard,
sure,
in some of the younger sports, we still see concussions in middle schoolers and even younger. And it's, again, as you mentioned, it's not just these sports activities. Accidents cause concussions, ATV accidents, and as well as cycling is a big cause of head injuries, and including concussion. And so it's important for the whole community to be aware of concussion symptoms and not just think about it as football and happening just in football, because it happens in hockey, it happens in soccer, it happens in girls basketball. And as we talked about at the start of the show, it doesn't always have to have a head injury. It can be someone just getting hit in the shoulder or falling on the ground, and it doesn't always have loss of consciousness either. So you don't have to see a hit to think about a concussion.
And you know, while teenagers oftentimes are stubborn, the old folks, I call them weekend warriors, we have over 110 softball teams playing fall leagues right now, Doctor, and just a word to the wise to the adults that are parents, and you know, they're not not subjected to concussions.
Right. So, yeah. If someone goes for a dive and catch in softball, they can land on the ground, don't have to hit their head. They can hit their head and can get a concussion. And so it's important not only for the older adults playing to recognize this, but it's also important for them to model behavior for the younger folks and teaching them that this head injuries are not something to just shake off and tough it out. They're something that you take seriously and you get looked at. And I think demonstrating that to the younger ones around them will help them to develop a good approach to recognizing and responding to a potential head injury like this.
And again, in summary, and give us the best local website to get information on this.
I'm not sure about local websites for Bloomington, but if you Google Department of Education and concussion,
okay,
you look at IHSAA and concussion, I think those are great websites for Indiana that have good concussion information. I think the CDC website, although it's national, has great information with the Heads Up program. that includes having a heads up and awareness about concussion, but specifically for football, teaching kids proper tackling techniques so that they're not getting their head in there. And that means not just tackling, but running backs need to keep their heads up and wide receivers need to keep their heads up and not drop it down, because that's not just concussion that's on the line. They can really run the risk of neck injury by not keeping their heads up. So all around, we need to keep our heads up with regards to this injury.
And since we brought you in and you're associated with orthopedics and sports medicine, people can do you have a website?
We do. If so, off the Orthopedics of Southern Indiana IU Health website, you can find information about our Clariz office, our Northwest YMCA office, as well as our satellite clinics in Bedford and Martinsville.
Well, I'm hearing good things, as we mentioned, Doctor, with what's going on out at the Y on the Northwest side, and it's just great to have your organization, Orthopedics and Sports Medicine of Southern Indiana Physicians, to have a facility within a facility. Hey, it was neat talking to you. We've covered signs and symptoms, impact testing, prevention, protocol, and what have you. But I really thank you. And FYI, listeners, if you want to listen back to what Dr. Smithers had to say, we'll be up on the website forever, WGCLradio.com, and just click on our sports talk segment. Dr. Jeff, nice meeting you. Thanks for dropping in, spending some time. Give my best to Tim and the crew. And we'll talk to you again hopefully next year as this medicine to improve concussion, so vital to the success of young men and women and adults, continues. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Jeff Smithers joining us, and we'll be back to close things out about 5 before the top of the hour. Reds baseball coming up at the top of the hour against the Kansas City Royals. Back to close things on opening night. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Well, time to close things down. Again, our thanks to Bobby Cox, Dr. Jeff Smithers, for joining us, and our guest appearance of Denise Askwe. And the best of luck to Western Michigan University. Hey, by the way, Kansas City and the Reds getting together here at the top of the hour. Dave and Glass in the zone. Your phone calls tomorrow night at 6. Our shortstop barbecue train employee of the week is Laura Hopkins, doing a great job out on the east side. She opens up the kitchen every Monday through Friday. For our producers tonight, and to Jim Ritter, high atop One City Center. That's going to about do it for our opening night here. And again, welcoming on board Ron Ryder, the new owner of Yogi's Grill and Bar, and his outstanding staff. They're here to serve you Monday through Sunday. So support Yogi's Grill and Bar, Royal South Toyota, and our sponsors tonight. Until next Tuesday night, from the corner of 10th and Indiana, thanks to everyone. We'll see you. Have a great week.